The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. I'm joined today by Lynette and Dave Kudnick, and they are married, have nine children. God bless you for that. Well, Dave, where in the area did you grow up?
I grew up on the west side. It's a couple streets over from Lakewood. It's kind of around where my mom's family was. My dad was originally on the east side. Mm-hmm. So I grew up on the west side, went to school at St. Rosa Lima, and then high school at St. Ed's. After that, went to Franciscan University of Steubenville. My brother went there ahead of me, and when I was looking at colleges, I really wanted to go somewhere where that was really alive with fellow students that were very enthusiastic about the Catholic faith. And when he went there and I visited, I found that exactly in Franciscan University. So I was really excited to go there. And yeah, that's where I ended up for college.
Mm-hmm. Lynette, what about you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. On a farm in very rural Minnesota. So it's ironic that I ended up marrying somebody from the city. It's like city mouse and country mouse, I think, a little bit. And then I went to Steubenville for very different reasons than Dave did. I was kind of leaving the Catholic faith, and my parents strongly suggested, sort of forced me to go to Steubenville to rediscover the Catholic faith. And it was effective. Mm-hmm. Steubenville is a very special place, and I rediscovered the Catholic faith. And then Dave and I met, I think, my junior year, and were friends for a long time. We were friends for, I don't know, a couple months, and our relationship got, we were sharing things and we were hanging out and we were just friends, but then it sort of reached this point where, you know, if we want to be like share more of our hearts with each other, we need to have a deeper level of commitment mm-hmm. with each other. And so then we decided to date and eventually got married. Probably, 2 years after we started dating, we got married around there?
Well, I think from when we started, when we knew each other, it was about three.
Oh, was it about 3 years? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what was your childhood like? Weekly mass or daily mass? Were you an altar server, things like that? How many kids in your family?
You know, there's four altogether. I'm the youngest. I have two older sisters, Sarah and Ann, and older brother, John. All of us went to the St. Rosa Lima school, you know, K through 8. We had a very strong pastor, really inspired us in our faith, Father Jim Vile. So the Catholic faith, you know, it was strong in our home and it was strong in our, our school. So we went to Mass every Sunday. And then as part of the school year, we would have, each class would have one Mass per week that we'd go to. So it was probably, you know, pretty consistently like one, you know, Mass on Sunday and one Mass during the week.
Mm-hmm.
We had adoration every Thursday afternoon, and each class would take a turn sending two students to spend, you know, like 15 minutes in adoration. So we had a, you know, pretty strong Catholic culture at that school. And growing up, my mom's side of the family went to that school. I think it was an Irish, strongly an Irish parish. So mm-hmm. had a lot of Irish influence from my mom's side.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think those are the main things of the faith. Had the opportunity to go see Rome once on pilgrimage, and Lourdes a few times on pilgrimages.
Oh, wow.
And so those are, you know, as a kid, you don't really appreciate it as much as you should, but even so, those are really strong memories and, you know, good memories for for the faith and building up your faith.
Sure. Lynette, you've probably seen roughly that area of St. Rose. It's a densely populated area compared to the country girl from Minnesota. Tell me about your life and the faith. And
sure.
And also, you know, you, as you say, you maybe were starting to fade away a little bit.
Yes. Yep, I was. So I we went to Mass every Sunday, but my parents weren't like real strong Catholics, and our parish wasn't very alive growing up. There weren't a lot of teenagers that were active in the parish. There weren't any youth programs or anything like that when I was in high school. And there were good youth programs at other parishes in the area. Or mm-hmm. not parishes, I'm sorry, just churches,
you
know, Protestant churches. And so I got involved there. And my parents were, you know, supportive of it because they were Christian and they didn't necessarily see a lot of harm in it. But I was dating someone that was not Catholic. And so that really started steering me away. And the religion that he belonged to was very anti-Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I even spent a year going to a Bible school that was part of this denomination that was even sort of more, because I was not very well catechized mm-hmm. or evangelized in high school, it was very easy for me to get involved in the Protestant, you know, way of thinking and the doctrines that they were teaching and things like that, not even knowing that we don't believe in the Bible alone and that if you don't find it literally in the Bible, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. You know, not understanding tradition and the Pope and the Magisterium and all of that. So I was swept away sort of in that. And it was while I was at the Bible school that my parents noticed a change and wanted me to go to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I ended up at Steubenville. But yeah, I would say like Dave was at a Catholic school and stuff. I was not. I was at a public school. There isn't even really a Catholic school within 40 miles. I mean, we'd have to go 40 miles to go to a Catholic school up here.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't feasible. I mean, it's not feasible in the winter. So
no.
up here in Minnesota.
Not in Minnesota, that's for sure.
So, you know, right. So it's very, very, like, not strong Catholics
mm-hmm.
in the area. I would say it's changing. Now there's getting to be more. But at the time, it was not very good.
Well, that's an encouraging sign. That maybe it's getting a little more,
right.
but you were still a yes. Christian. That we were going to a Christian
yes,
other church, yeah.
Yes.
A great place to start.
Yep.
You know, folks, stay with us. We're going to be back on God Calling after some commercial messages. Right after them, we'll be back and talk to Lynette and Dave Kudnick again. Lynette and Dave Kudnick are joining us. Dave is from the Cleveland area. She from Minnesota, met at Franciscan University. You know, Franciscan University comes up so often in the folks that I talk to, some of them religious vocations, people that have met there. Let's talk about that college for a bit. Let's start with you, Dave.
So as I mentioned before, my brother went there ahead of me. And I think, I mean, I don't know exactly his story of getting there. I think it was recommended to him, and he was excited about being there. And I really enjoyed visiting him and getting to meet his friends, and it really got me excited about going to Steubenville myself. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, as growing up, you know, we had a strong Catholic culture in grade school and whatnot. And it was, you know, perhaps even more so in college because you're surrounded by young adults who are, you know, striving to live out their faith and really take their faith seriously and doing it in a very fun and joyful way. And I think even in times that I've gone to visit there afterwards, there's just a profound sense of peace and joy that just permeates every part of that campus. It just feels different when you're on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lynette and I were in two different households. You know, there's one way of building, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood is through the household. They're small groups. I mean, I suppose that you could say they're roughly analogous to fraternity sororities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a life loosely in common. You know, you typically live in the same hall in the dorm. You have a common room and you meet for different prayer commitments, weekly prayer commitments. It varies a little bit from household to household. You know, it's sort of like being at Franciscan, you sort of get the whole campus has that feeling. And then it's sort of focused a little bit more in household life. And you're with, you know, young men or young women that build you up and challenge you and become really strong friends that you keep in contact with, you know, afterwards. And yeah, it's just a special place.
Lynette, I see that so part of your discernment toward marriage was that weekly hour of Eucharistic adoration. Was that in that household setting?
I'm thinking, I don't know if as a household we had a Eucharistic hour together.
Okay.
You know, maybe we did, and I just don't remember. I know we had weekly rosaries, and I believe we went to Mass together, but I didn't remember doing that, but it was so long ago that we could have certainly done it. I know that when I was discerning my vocation, I had never, because I grew up in a place where the Catholic faith wasn't really very much alive, I had never really contemplated being a nun before. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I had seen a habited nun in real life until I went to Steubenville, because they have, you know, there's a handful of them on campus studying and stuff. But I know that I definitely went through a phase while I was there where I did think about religious life. And I remember I came home during one of the breaks and mentioned to my mom and dad, like, yeah, I think that I might be called to be a nun. And I remember they both were like, I don't know. I think they just saw in me that I really had a desire to be a mom. I mean, I think they were trying to be supportive, but I just remember this, like, look and this aura that I got from them that was like, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's...
So, and you know, my discernment of it didn't last real long, because I did just have a strong desire to be a mom and have a family and be married and stuff. And obviously, I think that's what God then called me to, but it was good for me to explore that and think about that, you know, what would life be like as a nun and giving myself to God in that way.
Yeah. Dave, you were married in 2005, but then really not too long after that, you get a transfer to, Texas, I believe.
Yes.
That's for grad school?
Correct. Yes. The question you asked about adoration, what I remember on that, and it's kind of connected to that too, is Lynn and I had gone. In the town that we were living, Grand Forks, North Dakota, there was a place where there was perpetual Eucharistic adoration, and so we had signed up for an hour per week, and so we would go there together. And it was the year before we got married, and then the year after we got married. And I feel like during that period of time, that weekly commitment, I think for me, like prepared us for the for marriage, for the possibility of marriage, and prepared us for our life afterwards, because it was the year afterwards that we made that move. Our youngest was born, you know, in July, and in August we're moving. So he was in a car seat, and we were in a U-Haul on our way down there. So we went to Irving, Texas, University of Dallas. I pursued a PhD degree there in philosophy, completed that with dissertation and whatnot in 2015. But yeah, we were 5 years down there in Texas. So Lynette had a job where they mentioned, major life changes that you shouldn't do more than once. And we did like three of them in the first year. I mean, it was hard, but I don't remember being, and I think it was the foundation of prayer that, you know, those 2 years and beyond gave us.
Yeah,
to handle those changes.
Lynette, my wife and I can picture that U-Haul with a 6 month old in the baby seat coming to Ohio all those years ago.
Yeah,
but you know, you're working and you've got a small child. That's a lot of pressure. Probably nothing compared to what you've got going today, but still, it's a pressure.
Oh, and a different pressure. You
sure.
Know, a different pressure where, you know, we had only been married a year and had a baby and had moved. And Dave had mentioned that this job that I worked so that we didn't incur tons of debt. And so so I was working, and I remember one of the training things that they had at our work was that, like, you should not do more than one of these major life changes at a time. And they listed off like five or six things. And I think I had done four of those within like a month. They were like, don't move, don't have a baby, don't start a new job, and don't go to school. Like, those were some of them. And I was like, oh, well, we just did all of those in like a month. And
checked off all the boxes.
Yeah, it was pressure. That's right. Yeah, we checked a lot of boxes on major life changes. And it was a hard time, but I suppose we were young, and we did have the foundation of prayer, and we were excited. You know, it was a new beginning, and new challenges. And Dave had a philosophy, you know, master's, and wanted to move on with that. And this was the next kind of step on that journey. And so we were down there. And yeah, even though it was hard, I look back and there was a lot of experience that I had gained from those years down in Texas. There's a beautiful Catholic community down there, of, you know, really strong Catholics and stuff. And so I think introduced me to homeschooling in a new way.
Okay.
I had not known a lot of homeschooling families. And so I met a lot of homeschooling families that just changed my perspective on it,
all right.
I guess.
We'll pick it up right there with your home life today, right after these messages on God Calling, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host, with Lynette and Dave Kudnick, who are joining us. You're done in Texas. You got your PhD. Back up to Minnesota, Dave. What happens next?
I'd completed the coursework, and sort of our decision to go back to Minnesota was I was teaching at two different places part-time and was trying to do the dissertation and wasn't going to work. So our intention was to move up to Minnesota on our parents' farm. I would spend the year writing, and then we would reassess and move on from there with the hope that would go somewhere to teach at mm-hmm. university level. So that was 2011, and with writing and then revisions and, all the steps to go through, it ended up being 2015 that I finished with the dissertation and graduated. So we ended up there for a while and was able to complete. It was very important for me, for us, that I would complete it. And we did. But during that time, we ended up moving in a different direction. There's a lot of discernment and a lot of, questions during that time. But I thought we're growing into a nice family life here and, extended family and nice community here in Minnesota.
And in the meantime, Lynette, you're continuing to have children, including two sets of twins. So that's definitely a handful.
It's kind of funny. So we moved up here when we had three kids. We had our third kid, and then we moved a couple months later to Minnesota. And partly so I could be home with the kids. That was really important to me. I didn't like working anymore, and I just wanted to be able to be there with them.
Yeah.
And then Dave finished. We had our fourth kid in 2013, and he finished his dissertation in 2015. And then it was like the floodgates opened, and we had those two sets of twins back-to-back. And then we had another one, single, after that. So we had five kids in 3 years.
That's a handful.
And so, yeah, life was very busy. Yeah, cool. And our youngest now is four. And so our twins are seven, six, and then we have a four-year-old. And I feel like I'm just kind of coming up from the smoke and the dust of diapers and constant feeding and interruptions and can kind of, breathe a little bit. And I know there was time, I think there were a couple of years in there where I didn't even have time for prayer. Like I would I'd be up in the middle of the night. And I was like, there's no way I can even get up and pray. I'm so tired. And so I would just try to pray in the middle of the night when I'm nursing or attending to somebody. And I'm one that I really like to have my morning prayer every day. And I just couldn't do it for those mm-hmm. couple of years in there.
Dave, this sounds like maybe the way I grew up with four brothers and sisters. I know how to boil they don't have them anymore, but boil the baby bottles, glass baby bottles, and make formula. And I suspect you'd lean on some of the older children to pitch in.
Yes. Yeah, we did. That's kind of the beauty of having a big family is the bigger kids help and take over a lot. And, I need you to feed this one or make supper or whatever. Yes.
People, I read an article about you guys and it says people say, I can't imagine a life like that. How do you do it, Lynette?
When I hear people say I can't imagine a life like that, I feel like you can never imagine what you don't have. I could never imagine not having any kids because I have so many kids I don't know. I guess it's just day by day and by the grace of God and help. I had during those years when life was really tough, I had somebody come to my house 4 days a week in the morning, sometimes all day, just to help with the kids while I did homeschooling. People would ask, there were two ladies from my church, one lady specifically that when she found out I was pregnant with the second set of twins said, what can I do to help? And I said, could you come over one day a week in the morning and just watch the little kids while I do school? She said, yes. And she's been coming to my house now for 7 years. Every Monday morning she comes, and now I don't need her help with the kids anymore, but she folds all my laundry. And so... it's a huge blessing. She just comes and does the laundry or I have it all done. She just folds it and puts it into baskets and we put it away. And it's a beautiful way that she can help me. And so I guess that's how I do it is with help and by the grace of God. And, I don't even know. You'd have to come and.
Yeah. And the other thing is that's a lot of laundry with that many folks for sure.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it sure is.
Dave,
well, I figure one load per kid.
Yeah, okay. Dave, as you're off working, I assume elsewhere, you come home and you see what's going on and people pitching in. Does that reaffirm your faith that somebody from church or maybe more than one person sees the joy of your family and probably gets joy out of helping with it, but then you also receive the benefit of their friendship and their love? Is that God working in your life, I guess?
Yeah, I would say so. I think most, not all the people Lynette's talking about are folks that we met from our local church. I suppose it's part of like our parish community, you know, like working together and how we feel a part of that community because we're connected to these folks that are helping us. And so definitely see God's hand. And I often think in terms of, you know, sometimes when somebody prays for something, the Holy Spirit nudges somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to that other person to respond to that nudge, and I think that's probably what happened there with these folks that are helping us.
Another thing I think about is that you asked me how we do it, and I think I just had let a lot go. I used to like to have things very organized and very specific, and when you get that many kids, you just learn what's really important. Like, you know what, sweeping the floor today is really not important, and it'd be better for me to sit and read a book somebody. Made a mess. So I think God has really worked on me with all of these kids to make me less in control, to show me who is in control, and to show me what's really important in life. And it's not a lot of the things that I thought. And I joke around and say it took two sets of twins back to back to teach me that because I was pretty stubborn and really like to be in control. And so, if people are struggling with that, as well, you know, you could have two sets of twins and then.
Folks, thank you for joining us. This has been a pleasant conversation. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to take a moment right here at the end to plug something coming to my parish, which is a Eucharistic Miracles exhibit, April 21st through 28th from noon to 7, open all those 7 hours. St. Joseph's in Avon Lake. It's on Lake Road. The Eucharistic Miracles exhibit is unbelievable is what I'm told, so I can't wait to see it. But Kudnicks, thank you for joining us once again. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.